How lonely you feel today actually predicts how well you sleep tonight and how depressed you'll be a year from now, says Dr. John Cacioppo at University of Chicago. When you do this study, when I started preparing for this message, I was like, Lord, what am I going to talk about? But I had the scripture, God doesn't like for people to be alone. Okay, and that's all I had. But when I started studying and going deeper, oh my goodness, God doesn't want people to be alone. He is your Father. And He doesn't want you to be alone. You could be married and be lonely. You know, you could be in a group of people and you could be lonely. Loneliness is not good. God said it's not good for a man or for a woman to be lonely, to be alone. So I am a father. And if I see that my son doesn't have any friends, I kind of start feeling bad. You parents, right? You want your children to have good relationships. You don't want them to be loners. Because we know, we've seen loners. We know loners. They become, they're weird. Thank you. I was looking for that word. God wants us to be in relationships. And God wants us to be healthy and not lonely. Loneliness has no barriers. Can you be rich and lonely? One actress said, loneliness is a universal problem of the rich. I don't know, but a lot of rich people seem to be lonely. Can you be poor and lonely? Yeah. Can you be a famous person and lonely? Yeah. Elvis Presley. I mean, that guy was lonely. Look at Michael Jackson. That guy was lonely. You can be famous and you can be lonely. You can have a great family and still be lonely. The spirit. You can be beautiful and could be lonely. Some of you think maybe, well, if I was more good looking or beautiful, I wouldn't be lonely. No, no, no. That has nothing to do with it. Sometimes people who are not too good looking, they have more friends than those who are popular, famous, and good looking. Okay? You can be intelligent and still be lonely. Albert Einstein said this, it is strange to be known so universally and yet be so lonely. God doesn't want people to be lonely. When we look at the Bible, loneliness is not something that only unrighteous or maybe regular folks struggle with. When we look at the Bible, people of great faith, miracles, anointing, power, struggled with loneliness. When we look at the life of Elijah, he was so lonely at one moment that he said, God, take my life. He knew he didn't want to commit suicide. But he's like, God, can you have somebody come and kill me or something? Because I'm tired. I don't want to be here. How many of you ever felt that? Don't have to raise your hand, but we've all been there. Jeremiah felt lonely. He said, God, you trapped me. You told me that if I serve you, everything is going to be different. But I feel so alone. He was thrown into the pit. He was in mud up to his, chest. And he was there alone for many days. Imagine that, being in the mud. For a few months being in the mud like this. So he knew what it was like to be lonely. It's not only regular folks who experience it. Paul experienced that. He said, everyone left me. I'm alone. He's getting kind of bitter. If people in the Bible had to endure loneliness, you and I for sure will have to endure and overcome loneliness. Four reasons why people get lonely. Do you want to know? Reason number one. In time of transition, it's almost normal for people to feel loneliness. Maybe you're changing job. Maybe you're changing city. Maybe you're changing a house, neighborhood. Maybe friends are kind of, you're moving away. Maybe you're changing your social status a little bit. You know, because when you grow financially, your friends kind of change sometimes. Your family never changes. Your church never changes. But your friends sometimes, I mean, we got to admit it. They do change sometimes. When we go to school or college, when we change grades, sometimes it's normal to feel, lonely. But we shouldn't stay there. Loneliness is like a headache. When you have a headache, what does it tell you? That something is wrong in your body. Maybe your back is a little bit out of alignment. Maybe you need to eat the right food. there is a reason for a headache. So it's like a trigger mechanism that tells you that something is wrong. Well, loneliness is a trigger mechanism that tells us that, hey, if you don't take care of it, you are going to fall into depression. You're going to fall into all kinds of oppression. And you're in danger of suicide if you don't do something about it. So when we feel lonely, it's normal, but we shouldn't stay there forever. Amen? It's a trigger. It's a mechanism. It's a symptom that tells us, hey, your soul is in need of relationships. And we were created as social beings. In the Garden of Eden, God said it's not good for them to be alone. We're going to create him a helper. And how many of you know when you have a friend, you have a helper? Amen? And it's hard to be without helper. Imagine you being stuck in Mexican jail. Who would you call to bail you out? I'm sorry, is that a little... You need helpers! For some reason, I got a lot of friends, it must be, because everybody calls me from jail and tells me, can you bail me out? It's true. I got friends. But who is that person that you can share a secret with? Who is that person that you can complain to and say, hey, I just hate my life right now? You can't do it to everybody. You need those people around you. And how many people, somebody asks? Maybe one, two? I don't know how many people. For some who are introverts, they might need one good friend. But who's extrovert might have five or six. So some people have just one and they're cool with it. Some people want more friends. Time of transition is when we feel lonely. Now, I want to share a personal experience. And that is when God began to move in my life when I was about 24. I was a youth minister, youth pastor with my wife. And we built a youth group that was big. It was about 70, 80 people. I mean, it just grew, you know. When we started, it was small. And then people just started coming in and God began to do great things. And we just had so much fun. We would go and act like young people. You know, we had, you know, 16, 15, 17, 18. And I would act like them. And my wife would get mad. But I'd be like, baby, you know, let's go. And so sometimes we'd get in a fight in a car. And I got great preaching material. Because me and my wife, we... I'm just afraid when she starts preaching what's going to happen. But anyway, at about 24, we began to feel something interesting. We would have people all around us, young people, and just so much energy. And we were, and you know, we are very energetic as well. And we would start feeling alone or lonely. And I was like, David, what's going on? I feel like I'm in a bubble. I feel like all these people, like I could be standing in the middle and all these people are talking, having fun. And I'm feeling weird. I'm feeling like, what is going on? God, this is something. Let me illustrate it for you. Have you ever seen a movie when a bomb goes off and a soldier stands there and people are running? It's chaos. And he stands there and the music just disappears. And he's like, when they feel totally alone and the music just stops and there's no silence, no sound. And you just feel alone. That's how we felt. No, for real. Somebody really done a great job of, you know, playing out that scene. And we would feel alone. And what we started recognizing that God would begin to speak to us about new things. So when God is about to change something in your life, He will kind of put a bubble over you. But it was a good kind of lonely, you know? It was like, it's almost like you're hearing something, but you don't hear it. You know what I mean? It's almost like silence and everybody's yelling. Amen? And so when God wants to separate a person, when God wants to do something great in a person's life, when the time comes, God begins to separate a person. He did that with Abraham. Amen. He said, leave your father's house. He did that with Joseph. Joseph, he had to abduct, kind of, or his brothers had to sell him into slavery. David had to be alone because God had to make a king out of him. Paul had to spend some time in prison, but it was a good type of loneliness. It wasn't self-created. So when loneliness appears in a time of transition, so maybe some of you right now are going through that. Don't feel bad. Don't lock yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? speak to me. Because God will silence those other voices and begin to speak to you. And He'll give you clear directions. Because Bible says, the steps of a righteous are ordered by the Lord. And He delights in their path. So if you're a godly person, God makes you walk in certain path. God makes you walk in certain ways. I've seen it many times in my life, and He'll do it in your life. So don't be afraid if some friends decided not to be around you or be your friends. Just, you know, make sure you don't do that. Make sure you don't say, oh, I'm going to lock everybody out because I got to hear God, you know. We can do that for, you know, a day or two, but go ahead and be around. God will do it Himself. God will tell you Himself. So don't lock up. It's not from God. God doesn't want people to be alone. So God would sometimes separate you from physical relationships. But there's times when naturally something happens in our physical relation, in our human relationships. And we're separated. And we feel lonely. And maybe we moved to a different city. Or maybe we went to college. Or maybe we came or whatever. There's two types of separation. And one is separation from people, and one is separation from God. Do you know that you can and will feel lonely if your relationship with God is not right? You will. You can have many people around you in a bar. And you can be having a lot of fun. But listen to me. If you are not close with God, if you're not walking with God, you'll feel loneliness. And a lot of people try to fulfill that with different things, material things, and all kinds of things. But second purpose for loneliness is separation. Separation from other people or separation from God. Maybe you have great relationships. Maybe you have great family around you. But you feel lonely. Check your relationship with God. It's not good for a person to be alone. That's what the Bible says. Jesus, who was the perfect Son of God, He felt lonely. Why? Because He was separated from His Father. He says, Father, why have You forsaken Me? He felt lonely. So it's normal sometimes to feel separation. But notice, Jesus appeared, confirms what I just said. That if your relationship with God is bad, is weak, you will feel that loneliness. And nothing else can fulfill that loneliness except time spending in prayer, except time spending in the Word. Some of you might ask me, what do you mean by your relationship with God? How do I have relationship with God? When you open His Word, Bible says God is His Word. So when you read it, that's how you have relationship. His Word comes into you. Have you ever watched an emotional movie and have been impacted by it? You start feeling that way? Why? That movie went and came into you. You had a connection with that movie. Same thing, when we spend time with God's Word, it comes in on the inside of us and begins to do something and begins to fill us up. And then loneliness have to go. Because Word of God is full of promises. Hallelujah. Third thing is emptiness. What do I mean emptiness? Have you ever been fed? You ate good, but you felt empty still. It's almost like a physical hunger, but it's not. It's like you're hungry. You're empty. Amen? Person who is empty will feel loneliness. Now, person who is filled with life, life of God, that Zoe life, they want to be around people. They want to give themselves and they want to be in relationship with people. But when you're always on empty, you don't want to see anybody. And really, a lot of people don't want to see you. People want to be around people who are filled, who are alive, who've got something to give, to say, to serve. And so it's important. One of the causes for loneliness is because we're empty. We're always drained. And when we're always drained, we're depressed. That means we have to take a little time for maybe go and have a little vacation. Spending time with God fills you up. That's one. Praying fills you up. Sometimes if I feel empty, I know I have to go at least 1 hour in prayer. And after that, I just feel so full. I can go on. Usually for pastors, and I know for me, after I preach a message, my most loneliness time is on Sunday afternoon. I'm just so empty. I gave. You know, you gave emotionally. You have to fill it up. And you can do it by watching TV, you know. But TV makes you feel even worse. You know what I mean? However, listen to music sometimes. And your favorite music. Don't listen to, you know, whatever people say. Just listen to your favorite music. Reading a book. Sometimes it works for me. And I know you might. To watch a romantic movie. My wife sometimes would say, "Baby, I got two movies. One with a whole bunch of blowing up action and one romantic." And I'd be like, "I hate to say it, baby, but romantic." And she's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were like that." But she doesn't understand that I'm empty. And I can't give to her, you know, I can't give to my kids when you're empty. You'd rather lock up, or you stress and you're snappy and you're angry and because you're empty. And God doesn't want us to be empty. That's why He gave us nature. Another good thing how you can fill yourself is go out and be with nature. But don't replace it. Don't replace nature for some golf works. I sin when I golf. So I'm not going to hell for golfing. Okay? So don't buy me golf clubs or nothing. Oh no, I'm not going to hell for... You hit it and you miss it and you're like... Argh! So emptiness could be filled for some of you golfing. I don't know how, but I get more stressed out. I get more emptied. And for some of you, it's nature. For some of you, it's fishing. But don't exchange it for the church and relationships. You know, those are the things that are given by God for filling us up so we can go and have great relationships. The other night, we went with some of our friends. But we were sitting downtown and just enjoying the company of our friends. That's what God gave us to replenish us. You know how we eat food to replenish our body? We need relationships to replenish our soul. It's not good for a man to be alone. Yeah, Adam has animals around, but it's not enough. But he's alone, and God says, "Here goes. There's a woman." Number four, opposition is another way you begin to feel lonely. If there's somebody who dislikes you, if there's somebody who always, you know, picks on you at work, somebody who always, you know, talks bad about you. Paul felt this. Opposition. Everywhere he went, there was opposition. He's like, "I'm tired, God. I feel like alone." You remember Elijah? When he created great miracle on the mountain of Carmel? And then he ordered all the prophets, witchcraft doctors, to be killed. And the queen, she sent a message to him and said, "May God do this and this to me if by tomorrow morning I will not do to you the same thing you did to those people." And Elijah runs, sits under the sticky bush, hides under the sticky bush and says, I want to die, Lord." Opposition could create loneliness. That's why it's so important to have friends around you. And how many of you know some prophets? They are not too good with having friends. You know, somebody said, if you want to tell the truth, be prepared to not have any friends, you know. And prophets, usually they just tell you the truth. And they're not nice about it either. They're just like, bang. And you're like, "I don't like you. You said the truth, but I don't like you. You're not coming to my house for dinner." I know how it is. What are the traps of loneliness? One of them is unhappiness. And God says, "I want you to be happy. I want you to have life to the fullest." And loneliness does not make us happy. So if you're unhappy, check. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you need some life. Okay? Number two. Escapism. You want to isolate yourself. You want to escape. You want to isolate yourself. When I feel lonely, there have been few moments, like maybe two or three moments in my life, when I said, "God, I want to go to heaven. It wouldn't be bad if I went to heaven, you know, at 30. I mean, it's okay. I'll finish my purpose in there, you know." And God says, "No, you won't. Your purpose is here." I'm like, "Okay, I just feel bad." But you know what I mean? You want to escape. A lot of us men and some women, We escape in being workaholics. Yeah, because we escape in our job. You've done that? Some escape into destructive behavior, drug addictions, and all kinds of addictions. Another trap, third trap of loneliness is fantasy. People try to escape from this life and relationships, go into fantasy world. You know what I mean? They spend excessive time on computer. Scientists found, although being on Facebook and MySpace is good at while you're there, as soon as you leave it, you still feel as empty as ever. Nothing is compared to the true relationships that we have with one another. And New Life Church, and I'm so glad that we have relationship. And our church is still, you know, that way where we build close relationships. If you want a friend, you'll find a friend. And if you don't join a growth group, you will have at least 10 to 12 friends by the time it's over. I mean, it's only 8 weeks, continual education of studying Bible together, discussing, you know, verses and debating about them and doing all that stuff. We build close relationship. I remember spring semester, we had a growth group and we started, it was kind of awkward. You know, we came together and it was like, it was a whole bunch of different people. But by the time we were done, I felt like crying. I mean, I had tears in my eyes when we were finished with our growth group. No, seriously. I mean, God doesn't want people to be alone. That's why He created a church. And church is not a building. It's people, it's you guys. So people go into fantasy world. They use extensive video games and that's where people get addicted to pornography, fantasy world, lust, romantic novels, and they don't need anybody. They're just hiding, you know, and looking, or, you know, watching, you know, reading, whatever it is. That's the truth. People go into fantasy world and they start building, and then the wife begins to complain, what's up, you know, you're not with me, you're on the internet and on the computer. You've seen Fireproof, right? I mean, and I've noticed people who are loners, they get themselves into so many, don't be alone, okay? And four, people who are, the trap of loneliness is fantasy. Fantasy is the third, I'm sorry, fourth is bad relationships. How many of you heard, I'd rather have bad relationships than no relationships at all? That's why some kids in school, they hook up with bad people instead of being alone. That's why some young men and women, young adults, rather go out with a bad guy than have no guy at all. That's why a woman says, he's not proposing, so maybe I'll just live a little bit with him. You know, he's not proposing. I just don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. God doesn't want you to be alone. He has a best plan for you. And I'm going to finish with a story. Abraham had a promise that God was going to give him a son through Sarah. And he was waiting and he was tired. He was tired of waiting for God. And some of you are waiting today. And he said, his wife created a plan. She said, well, I have a servant lady. Her name is Hagar. Why don't you go sleep with her and we'll have a kid? And if you know the history of this, she did have a child. They named him Ishmael. But then it created all kind of problem because Abraham didn't wait for God's best. Okay? And then Sarah, a few years later, had a baby. And God says, Ishmael will not be the child of the promise. Isaac will be. But if you know history, if you look at history, Isaac is the person from whose Jews are originated. Blessed people of God. Their enemy right now out of the Ishmael, and those are the Arabs. Those are the Arab nations, and they hate each other. See, when you wait for God's best, the consequences for waiting for God's best are great. But when you decide to say, I'm going to take the matters in my own hand, and I'm going to do it my own way. He has bad reputation, but hey, I don't want to be alone. God has a best plan for you. Or you can choose your plan. And usually I've noticed my plans are not always as good as God's plan. If I do things God's way, it works out. And at first it looks bad. At first it looks like you're sacrificing, you know? I mean, everybody else is doing it. Why should I stay single, you know? I can live with a guy till I get the perfect one. That's a path of destruction, Bible calls it. There's God's best and there's our best. And God's is the best way.